Okay. We're in 1 Corinthians. You know, it occurred to me last week, you know, when you chase rabbits, sometimes they're hard to catch. And we didn't catch that one. But, you know, in hunting, sometimes if you miss a shot, if you just wait, he'll come back around. And it occurred to me that we didn't catch that rabbit, but he'll come back around in chapter 12. And he'll come back around in chapter 15. So, but I think you got a pretty good handle on Sunday. So we won't spend too much time. That was the rabbit of baptism. But that was my fault, you know. Sometimes when you see it, you think, I think I can catch him. But much too fast. Okay.
What chapter?
Chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse. We'll pick up at verse 17, but we're not going to dwell there.
Maybe I'll just scratch off that one word.
That's, like I said, I thought, you know, we covered it pretty well. So I think, and it'll come back up. If it comes back up, you know, we'll be ready for it.
If you cover it, it'll be with a different viewpoint.
And we'll wait on that one. So, and the main thing that a reminder: Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he is trying to he's encouraging them to grow. That's what the ultimate aim is for them to grow, and that's what any time that Paul is writing, he's writing to the believers. His goal is for them to grow. When we pick up these books, we could put ourselves in that position, and we know that this is God's word for us, and it's to equip us. It's to encourage us in our growth, that we might know what he's doing and how he wants us to work with him. Contrary to what everybody believes, it's not because he wants to bless us in the physical sense. You know, most people think that if I read and study, then God's going to bless me.
Right.
They always think about what they can get from God, not the fact that he wants to use us for his purpose. Oh, you know what? I didn't see that. Yeah. It might turn again. If it does, let me know. I'll flip it back up. Yeah, it'll be hanging down there. And he's muffled all day. I didn't hear anything he said. But do you agree with that?
Yes.
Because, and the thing is when you are a synonym, to me, when I read this, I always think of this. When we think about God's word, I always think about what Paul is talking about, and it's wisdom. It's synonymous with what, not just what this word is, but who God is. I think in Timothy, Paul says he's the only wise God. He did. He's the only wise God. He says in Romans and Timothy. And if he's the only wise God, then what he says has to be what?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. And the wisdom, what he does is bottle this in his word, and he gives it to us. At this time, he gave it to the Corinthians. And it was to equip them to serve him and to strengthen their faith in what was written. You know, look at chapter 1 of verse 5, Paul said that in everything they were enriched by him in all utterance and in what? All knowledge. When Paul talks about the gospel, his gospel, and we know where he got it from, right? It wasn't something he... not quite. It wasn't something he thought of. It was something that God gave him by what?
Revelation.
That's why he said, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me, how that by
revelation
he made known unto me the mystery. He says, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge. He said, I didn't think this up. He gave it to me. That's why I might appear to be smart, but the wisdom that I'm speaking was given to me from God. So when he writes, that's why we talked about it. When he talked about all those, the Corinthians were taking sides. I'm with Apollos. I'm with Paul. I'm with Cephas. I'm with Christ. And he said, is Christ divided? Is Christ divided?
No.
No. He said, was in verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? He said, no. He said, I thank God that I didn't do this. And verse 16, he says, and I baptized the household of Stephanus, and I know not whether I baptize any other, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now, a question. How many I know we do. Most of us watch the preachers on Sunday morning or whatever day we watch them.
Watch them during the week.
Do you know what I hear? What I hear is wisdom of words.
Well, I hear a lot of things. Because I didn't know all these things that y'all already know. So I get different views and different opinions, and some of it makes sense and some of it doesn't.
So what's your definition of wisdom of words?
That's what, when he said that, I said, let me, what I see this is, I see the, like Romans, Paul said in Romans, good words and fair speeches. It's philosophy. It's the traditions of men. The wisdom of the world. It says they don't emphasize Christ. He'll go a whole hour, and then when it's done, the only thing that gets closer to the gospel is this. If you enjoyed this message, I want you to do this. Just bow your head and say, Lord, I thank you. For what? It might say something like, for being so good to me. And I'm asking you to come into my life, make me a changed man. I'm like, what's missing?
Christ.
Well, and confession of sin, too. You didn't realize you're a sinner before.
It doesn't even come up. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of after he goes through all his alliterations. You know, the nice speech, and when he gets done, and it's kind of like, oh, by the way, we thank Jesus for this wonderful occasion, and if you like this, find a Bible believing church in your area, but they left. If they came in unsaved, they went out what?
Unsaved.
Because it never mentions the what. Look at verse 17. It never mentions the cross. When we read this and say the cross of Christ, what do you think of? You think of what? Think of the sacrifice.
Absolutely.
That would be his death, right?
Right.
The burial.
Right.
And his resurrection. That's Paul said this. He died for our sins. He was buried, rose again the third day for our justification. He says that is the preaching of the cross. Everything else is what? Fluff.
Well, even Frank said opinions.
But I get to see the things that I'm learning here by watching that and see what they're not talking about, what they should be talking about. that's just my opinion. And you know what they say about opinions.
Everybody's got one.
So, but the preaching of the cross, and Paul is writing to, we talked about the Corinthians. Jerry, you're a history man. The Greeks were known for their wisdom, their philosophy. They were known for their oratory skill.
Great words.
Great words, right. Paul, great words, great swelling words of man's wisdom. And that's what they did. That's where, as a matter of fact, you know what? That's where we get our preaching from. Today, we get our historical, the way we do this, we get it from the Greeks. That's what they did. They, you know, you ever wonder why the guy's dressed up on Sunday, why he has his garb on? Or some of them, they put the robe on and they get up on the pulpit and then they orate.
That's right.
That's where they got it from. Now, I know Ezra built a pulpit of wood in Ezra, but that's not where we got that from. Even our church buildings, where do you think we got that from? We got it from pagan, from the Roman culture, where they built those they were temples to other gods. And what the Christians did was they went in when the Roman civilization started to collapse. They went in and it was, well, why waste the building? But the focus went from what should be going on in the building to the building.
As the same as today.
The same as today. Nobody wonders why. When they build it first and then they fill it. They decorate it, but they never wonder, well, why are we doing this?
It's appealing to the flesh too, to get more numbers, but
that's what the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of the wise, the wisdom of men, that's what they did. So their culture, it bled out onto the Christians,
but they got
early Christians,
the old Jewish, the guys that ran the Jewish temples, didn't they build big and ran a lot of money?
Some synagogues were just like houses.
But there was a lot of great ones, wasn't there?
There were some, but the thing is Paul said this when he talked to the Ephesians. He says, for 3 years, he says, I ceased not to warn you, and I taught you how, publicly and from house to house. The only thing he ever did that got close to a building was he separated the disciples into a school at that time. He said it was the school of Tyrannus. You never hear him talking about building a building, right?
With a gymnasium.
With the gymnasium, right?
Jacuzzis.
So, what happened is somewhere our focus went from the gospel of Christ to some other things.
Well, you know what happened.
They forgot the purpose.
And that's what, when he's writing to the Corinthians, they forgot their purpose. And we're like Corinthians today. Most believers, I don't think we have the proper attitude towards the cross. And it takes a person who does to shake them up and say, like Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, first thing you told them that you're sanctified, right? You're saints. Church of God. It was everything that they were not displaying. But they had the gifts. And he says, look at verse... and the reason they got sidetracked is because they had lost focus of this. the cross.
Lost focus of that and made much of the gifts.
Right. We're way away from that, but he gave them the gifts for a reason. And it wasn't for them to parade it and show it off. Verse 17, so we keep going. It says, He sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And I will say this before we go to, usually if a preacher preaches, and you get through, and they'll say, "Boy, he really preached today." And you can say, "Well, what did he preach about?"
I don't know.
Right? They don't know.
But he sounded great.
Because it's usually, you know what they mean, that he did a lot of fist pumping.
Start up the emotions.
He did a lot of jumping, maybe, and pounding, and a lot of sweating, and snorting. But.
So do what?
But he never emphasized what Christ accomplished.
What he did.
So they get through, and he's sweating, and "Well, you really preached today, Pastor." And
you really ran your mouth.
And nothing.
Hey, we enjoy the sermon, though. You know that.
For the 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Why do you think, when Paul writes here, why do you think he said the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish?
Because the natural man can't understand the things of God.
The first thing, when you say one man died for the whole world, the sins of the whole world, that's definitely for the average person who is not aware of this, it's foolishness to them. How could one man die for the world?
Well, then too it says to them that perish.
To them that perish.
Foolishness. So we're not going to perish.
Right.
Unbelievers.
And that's one of the characteristics of unbelievers, right? Is they don't believe. But it's foolish. But can you see where, I think in Luke, where Caiaphas was the high priest, and he prophesied that year. It wasn't something that he believed. The Lord had him prophesy when Jesus was born. And he says this, "Don't you know," I'm paraphrasing this, "don't you know it's expedient that one man should die for the sins of the world?" Matter of fact, look at Luke. I know I misquoted that. I think he said for the sins of the people. Luke chapter 1. Verse 76. Well, that's not that verse. Verse, yeah, 76. That's not the verse, but it's, we'll read this. It says, 74, that he would grant unto us, Jews, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. That's not the verse. I don't know where that verse is. I think it might be in John. Okay. Now, since I C-A-I-P-H-A-S. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure it's in John. John 11. John 11, 46. Jerry, a memory is no match for a pen and paper. You cannot do it. 11:46. John. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest, that same year said unto them, "Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and for the whole, and that the whole nation perish not." And this spake he what? Not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but also that he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Still Jews, by the way. So even the reason I went to that verse was even the Jews who should have been expecting him still didn't believe as a whole. And even the high priest didn't believe. The Lord had to enable him to prophesy to those people that this has to happen.
Do you think they didn't believe?
No.
Or they didn't want to lose their positions?
We just read it. They didn't want to lose their position, which kept them from believing.
It didn't keep them from believing. They just
kept it to themselves.
Yeah. Basically, they didn't let it be known.
They rejected the wisdom of God. So that's and they had their chance to believe, and they rejected it, the opportunity that was on the table. So, all right, back to Corinthians. But he said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness.
Let's talk about an issue this morning that is actually very widely accepted doctrine.
Should we all scold her at one time?
Yes.
Who is it?
Or should
that's?
That was
my.
Should we be gracious?
Should we be graceful?
Should we just let it go?
You said cell phones.
Cell phones. iPads are okay.
So all electronic
devices.
I just turned off the volume
and no
volume.
It's okay.
That's
we all make mistakes.
At least you know I listen to rightly dividing when I'm not around.
We didn't hear that.
Well, the other thing that wisdom of words that the preaching the cross is to them that perish foolishness is because it's not in their self-interest. The wisdom of the world is that it has to be in your self-interest, and the cross is telling them that the mighty God came down here and sacrificed himself and died for unworthy people.
Right.
That just doesn't make any sense at all to the wisdom of the world.
Right. I'm glad you mentioned that. I was watching the Oprah, the whatever night that was, and she was telling them that it's time for you to get in touch with your inner spirit.
But she didn't say it was Christ.
And that's what the wisdom of this world tells you, that the answer is within you.
Right.
It's in you. All you have to do is tap into that potential.
Positive.
And if somebody says that there's no potential in you, the potential is all in Christ.
We got potential, it's all bad.
Right. They don't think about it. Right. The potential you have is ruined, right. But that's in direct contradiction against what we just read, too. It's expedient that one man should die because there's nothing in us. When you tap into that potential, right, there's a scripture that says, God had made man upright, but he has sought out many inventions. That's us.
But when I got here, that's what I believed.
What? That you were pretty good?
That I was doing it all by myself, and I didn't know that. I always believed in God, but I didn't know that I was getting all that through him.
Hmm.
And I should have asked for more when I was getting it, but joke.
But the thing we're looking at is the preaching of the cross versus the wisdom of men, the wisdom of the world. And he says that, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And when I look at this, well, it pleased God that all the fullness would dwell in Christ. I think we talked about it. We were thinking about in the beginning where it said God created the heaven and the earth, right? And when we look at Colossians, it said that Christ created all things. And John says, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. You have Christ back here, and God's plan is being executed through him. And I wish I actually had a note that I wanted to, but I left my note. But I do know what my note said is... is... I think it's in Proverbs. It says, in the beginning, wisdom was with, I was with him. With God. I was with him from the beginning and by his side and executed these things. And it was a personification of wisdom. And you know who that is?
It's
Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 2.
Who else would have been with him besides the Holy Ghost?
The Son was there.
Proverbs 8:12, and it says, I wisdom dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions.
That's not the verse, though. No. But Colossians 2. Says I'll read verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. In whom, in Christ, are hid all the treasures of what?
Wisdom
and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. That was Colossians 2.
2 what?
And if all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hid in Christ, and you go against that, that makes you what? Foolish. And he uses that. You think, why couldn't he come down here and just make it happen? Why did he have to suffer and die? That was Peter's problem when he saw what was happening to the Lord. He says, no way could this happen. Look at all the great things that he's doing, all the miracles. He didn't see why you couldn't just take over. And most people say, well, he was afraid. I don't think he was afraid. He was embarrassed. He was ashamed. That's, I think it says in chapter 10, it says that we should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and whoso believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Won't be disappointed with the results. Peter was disappointed with the results because he didn't realize that wisdom was had to drive him to the cross, because the plan was from the beginning
to go to the cross.
From the before the foundation of the world, this plan was already worked out. And what Christ comes down, he comes down to execute this plan. And the plan, it went through the cross. Where you take this. Here's the cross, and we talked about all that God is, his wisdom, his justice, his love, the omniscience, the omnipresence, all the qualities that God is, where he invested in the Lord Jesus Christ, in that body. And he goes to the cross because all these things have to be fulfilled. He couldn't pay for our sins unless he was just. That's what Romans says. He's just and the justifier. Well, if he couldn't see the results coming, he wouldn't be what? Omniscient. I mean, I think wisdom is the having all the facts before you and being able to execute the knowledge that you have. What's that?
Full knowledge, yeah. To execute with full knowledge.
Right.
As opposed to us.
Exactly. Where, you know, a lot of people can go to school and they can learn those things on book. But when it comes to execute it, it doesn't happen. Because it's never been displayed. You know, it's never been executed. But you're talking about an all-wise God who always is in his execution mode, I guess you can say it like that. He always knows what he's doing. He always knows what the next step is, because he already knows the end and the beginning and everything in between. So when Christ goes to the cross, we look at it as this. He was crucified in weakness. He was crucified in shame. I think Peter said that he endured the shame of the cross for the joy that was set before him. But he knows that this one event not only encapsulates all the wisdom of God, but it also allows him to do what?
To live on.
Well, to unleash it. The gospel. That's what the gospel is. It's the wisdom of God. Is how was he able to do this?
He gave it up before he got here.
Who could he help? Who could he get to help him? Moses?
Nobody.
Daniel? David? Solomon? Noah?
God, maybe.
Peter? That's why he says, a body hast thou prepared me. He says, this is a job that I have to do. And he goes and he does that, what nobody would think. Let me keep going here. What you got, Colossians? He says, in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And he said, this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. That was verse 4. Now skip over to verse 9, or verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. What else can, what can you add to completion? That was a question. What can you add to completion?
Nothing.
Nothing. And Paul says, in him is all the wisdom, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Can we say that God didn't know what was going on when he executed that plan? The cross?
He wrote the instructions.
Okay, back to Corinthians 19. He says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world knew not God. And this is what Romans chapter 1 is talking about this. In the beginning, God made himself known. He made his, look at Romans chapter 1 and Psalms 90. Romans 1.
Romans chapter
1. And did I say Psalms 90? Psalms. Romans 1. All right, chapter, or verse, Romans 1, start at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. When he says the invisible things of him are clearly seen, is you can look out there and tell. I think it's the verse that says that the heavens, I quote this in Psalms, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. You can tell that this is done. This was done by somebody who had some what? Understanding. And power, right. It wasn't something that you can look at it and say, you know what, whoever did that, I don't think they knew what they were doing. You can look at that and tell, couldn't you? In Hebrews, it says this, that he upholds all things by the word of his power. So you can look out there, you should be able to tell that, you know what, this just didn't happen. Somebody bigger than me and smarter than me did this. And he put that in us. You know, thinking that here's a man who will look out and he'll say, wow, at the universe. And then he'll go chop a tree down and whittle a tree down to an idol with his hands and then put it up there and said, "This be thy God," right here. Isn't that what they did in Exodus, where they came out with God with great signs and wonders, and they got over there and Moses went up to get the wisdom of God for them. He went up to the mount to get the wisdom of God for them. And they, day 41, 40, he wasn't even, no, I don't think he made it. It was day 40. They said, "We don't know what happened to this man, Moses." And he says, "Up to Aaron." Here's Aaron. Aaron, you know what Aaron was with? You know who Aaron is, right?
Priest.
Not just that. Who else is Aaron?
Moses' brother.
Moses' brother. And he went in with Moses to who?
Pharaoh.
To Pharaoh. And they showed Pharaoh God's
wisdom
and power. They showed Pharaoh God's wisdom. They were eyewitnesses. They were participants. So they, if anybody knew, it would be them, wouldn't it? They get out, they go through the Red Sea, get on the other side, and they said, "He's taking way too long. We don't know what happened to him. And Aaron, you make us some gods." And they made them gods, idols, and said, "These be thy gods which brought thee out of the land of Egypt."
Yeah. But Aaron was there when all of this.
And he was there.
Power was being shown,
right?
He.
Don't make no sense.
And you know what it says? And he fashioned it into a golden calf.
Does he say something like, "They cast in the gold and help him a calf"?
Right. Well, that's what he said. He says, the people gave me their earrings and I put it in here and up, pop this.
It's like, "I didn't do it, Lord. It's that spire you gave me."
But you know what God said? It says they transgressed in the golden calf that Aaron made. That's what the scripture said. That way, no, you made it. And matter of fact, there's a verse in Hosea said that the workman made it. The workman fashioned it with his tool, his engraving tool. Therefore, it is not God. And that's what we're thinking. Well, here's a man. How could you make a God? How can you make your God? How could a God be something that you made? That shows how foolish a man is. You have to know that the things that are made, which the things that do appear, are not. Look at Romans again. He says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." That's not the verse I wanted. It's a verse that says that the things which appear. Oh, that's Hebrews. Yeah. "The things that do appear are not made by the things that you see." Or maybe we'll get to that. It's not today. But the thing is he's saying that if you make it, it can't be a God.
Right. It's your creation, not your creator.
Right. Can't be both. But when we look at this, he says that it's clearly seen that you should be able to tell that this is an all-wise God. It just didn't happen. It's not an illusion. It's really out there. And if that's the case, then you have to say, well, somebody made this. And it had an intention to it. Even if I don't understand it, it's out there, and it's the work of somebody who's much wiser than I am and much more powerful than I am. And that would cause us to say, I need to know who that wise person is. And God, in his wisdom, he has chosen to reveal himself, not just by the creation revelation. He has chosen to put it in print form.
So
it should be so obvious.
McGee quoted somebody one time and I can't remember who it was, but he said the probability of us just happening is kind of like the probability of the Webster's Dictionary being created through an explosion in a print shop.
Wow.
Really?
It is.
A medical doctor who sees all the intricacies of the human body and yet they don't believe. It's amazing.
Right.
But you got manna and water coming out of a rock, and these people were there the whole time and they don't believe what happened to them.
But we can always look back and talk about them. Mm-hmm. But we have in our hands the Word of God, and I like what you said, Jenny. Is that we talk about this, you know, briefly, and this really amazes me. Is when I look at us, you look at in this shell, mm-hmm. in this shell, and you think about the wisdom of God that's put into those functions, all those systems that operate without us doing anything. I mean, even in those people who have defects, like me, there's still things. You know what the systems, because of sin, we have right, but they still work. Mm-hmm. Now the scientist, he'll say, well, those are involuntary actions. Yeah, but who's making them that way?
Mm-hmm.
You gotta know that, you know, if you got a
clock.
If you got a clock, there's somebody
made
that clock.
Mm-hmm.
And that clock doesn't say he doesn't know I'm ticking. Does he? Does it? But the fact in our bodies, these systems, like you said, they go on. You sleep, they're going on. You're walking, talking, and there's how many right now can you tell that I'm going to make my blood flow? You might exercise and get it flowing more rapidly, but you're not making it flow. Your brain is functioning sometimes.
Your heart's pumping. Your brain is working.
But the thing is. Even with the fallen nature that we have, God's wisdom has put these systems in place. And you gotta be able to say, look, if I'm at the top of the chain and this is the way I operate, and God says that He created man.
Maybe that's the biggest miracle there is.
I think about that all the time, Jerry. I think that is the biggest miracle when I look at other people and myself, and it's like, listen, I don't care if they talk about evolution and all this other stuff. So when I look at you, I know that somebody did that, and it wasn't, it didn't just happen.
Oh, Mom and Daddy had a lot to do with it.
If you look at a fly or a flea under the microscope, and you see all the intricate detail in their systems, I mean, you kind of swallow it looking at a person. You're like, oh, that. But then you look at all of the amazing detail in nature and all the systems in nature and the universe and everything. It's like, how can you not?
And that's exactly what he's saying is, but all this stuff that we're talking about, it culminates in this right here. He says, you think that's smart? You think me making a body like, you think that's smart? He says, I'm doing something much bigger than that in this right here. And that's why he said the preaching of the cross. It to us, it's the what? Power of God and the wisdom of God. Because it's not just the here and now, it's something that's, when you look out there, and those planets are up there, that space is up there. It's not, you know what, can you, we don't know what it is. do we? But we keep going up there. What are we going up there for?
Find the beginning of time.
They're trying to, you know what? They're trying to disprove the wisdom of God. They're trying to say, because if I can find out
how creation started,
like they just did this, they just said, we just saw this little explosion, and that explains it all.
Right.
The smoking gun.
That was the first thing that happened.
And you think, really? So that's what, you got it. You got it right now, right? You can't explain that, but you say, well, that's it. That's got to be it. The universe happened just like that.
And the foolishness of man believes it.
It would take a...
It takes more faith to believe that there's not a God.
Yeah. Right. And so he...
It don't take a whole lot of faith to believe it.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
It takes a little bit.
But the... I'm glad my time is up too, but the thing is, the end result is this, and we'll have to go back over that. But it's so much easier to believe God's record. Is the our whole life, our whole
existence
is centered around one event.
Right.
And one man and one plan and one message that God has worked out from the beginning. And when he says this is the answer right here, this man, in the preaching of the cross, fights everything else that comes against it. How long have they been trying to get rid of him?
Ever since he was, before he got here.
From the time they crucified him on, you know.
But you know, if Christ hadn't have done that, let himself be put on the cross, people would have quit talking about it a few days after it. They heard about it, but never saw it. Like the Alamo. Meaning that there was a battle. There was a battle there. It was an awful battle.
You're right. It was an awful battle there. And you know what? Because of his wisdom, guess who came out on top?
He did.
You know what? I think about Muhammad Ali, where... now, if a human man was smart enough to do this, he said, here's my opponent. He's big. He's strong. He's fast. And he says, and he could possibly hurt me. He says, what I'll do is lay against the ropes and I'll let him expend all his energy trying to knock me out. Because one thing I do know is that if I have this protection, I know that he won't knock me out. And when he spends all his energy, then I go on the offensive. And
does it. Boom.
So where the Lord goes through all his earthly ministry and everything is ending up to him coming and then preparing himself for the cross, knowing in his mind that this is God's plan that I'm executing.
The way to victory.
And knowing that I'm going up against another being who thinks he's smarter than I am. And when he gets there, it's a battle. It's a battle of wits. So when he gets done, he says, well, if I get rid of him, then it really is all mine. And he expends all his energy to do what?
Get rid of the Lord.
To crucify him.
Yeah.
And when he's crucified, he says, that was easy. It's done. And they go on to their party, after party, and 3 days later,
he comes out of that rock.
He comes out of there, and they, what happened? Everybody went scrambling.
It didn't work.
Well, just it didn't work, but it did work.
It worked because
they weren't on the same level, and that's what Colossians said. This that he destroyed them, the principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the resurrection. And when we preach the preaching of the cross, we say we know how smart he is. I'm not putting my two bits up against God's eternal purpose. And I would recommend that you do the same. That we trust him. And that's what Paul is getting to the Corinthians. He was recommending that not only did they trust what happened here, but trust him who's delivering that message, the preaching of the cross. He says to them, I know it's to them is foolishness. He said, but for us, it's the power of God and it's the wisdom of God. And he said, if you get on that, if you get on the same page, then we could go farther and look at some other aspects of his plan. How wise he is and how wise he can work with you, with us. So all of us. That was hard, but it was good.
It was good.
But
so in the wisdom of man.